10, it's Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, stage and studio is off. We'll hear writer, journalist, and filmmaker Tariq Ali speak on rage, rebellion, and organizing our power, the theme of the 2016 Left Forum held last week in New York City. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Javelin interviews clothing designer Jared Yazzie about the new show Native Fashion Now at the Portland Art Museum. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking donate.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
As cleanup crews attempt to clear Friday's oil fire in Mosier, residents grapple with a non-functioning sewer system, a threatened cherry harvest, and the necessity to boil water at home. KBOO reporter Jenna Yokoyama spoke with the mayor of Mosier, Arlene Burns, about the town's history with the Union Pacific Railroad and residents' concerns about plans to inject even more oil trains throughout the town soon.
So what has been Union Pacific's response so far?
You know, they have arrived on the scene and they're investigating. What's very strange about this was on a place on the tracks that was completely straight, and the train was going slowly. So if this could happen on a straight piece of track when the train's going slowly, imagine if the train was going quickly and there's a curve. So I think it's too early for them to, you know, they have apologized for any inconvenience it's caused. And, you know, right now we still have our sewage treatment plant is not online because it was right beside where this incident happened. And so we have a boil water. You can still get water out of the tap that's coming from the city well, but it's not considered safe to drink. And I'm not exactly sure if it's because they're worried about backup from the sewage or if they're worried about just not being able to actually chlorinate the water in the volume that it took to actually fight the fire with water, which has also depleted our water supplies, you know, before the summer when things get dry too. So it's funny. We've all felt like it was an accident waiting to happen, and we were assured previously that, oh, it would be very rare and it wouldn't happen and blah, 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 but obviously it happened, and it happened in conditions that seemed to be incredibly safe. And, you know, where this accident happened was probably, you know, 200 yards from the school property, and all the kids in the school heard the crash. I mean, it was that close to a school full of children that if it had perpetuated into a domino effect, which it very easily could have, and it was so hot to try to stop this domino effect of the other cars that were all accordioned together from also exploding, then, you know, our town would have been wiped off the map.
Well, can we talk a little about the history of these crude oil trains running through Mosier?
And originally, they told us that no crude oil was being transported on the Oregon side, and then right after they said that, people had taken pictures of these trains, and they were unit trains, meaning like this one, every single car of the train had oil. It wasn't just an odd car with oil, but the entire train was dedicated to this one shipment of crude oil. So they admitted and acknowledged that, oh yes, we are shipping that. And so we have been raising the point for a long time of, well, what if there's a derailment? The communities have no way of fighting fire because you can't fight them with water. And the nearest foam, as we found out again, you know, is in Portland at PDX, which is for planes that need it. So they're not really the conduit for getting foam at the last minute. So it really is a serious issue. And the unions of firemen in Vancouver and in Oregon have basically made strong statements saying that there is no safe way to transport this, and it should be, there should be a moratorium from a federal level. That's what we're pushing for.
Well, what emergency response plan has Union Pacific put in place in case of something like this? Has there ever been any tools given to the city of Mosier?
There have never been tools given to the city of Mosier or any of the communities along the tracks. And they have a plan that says, well, we'll hope to arrive in an hour or so and try to control it. And so, you know, we were very lucky that this didn't happen in August. When everything was bone dry, brittle, and also very lucky that we didn't have our normal 20 to 35 mile an hour winds, which the gorge is known for, because if that had been the case, the fire would have quickly been way out of control. And even the things that then could be put out by water, it would have been overwhelming to the fire, the local resources.
What has been the response from residents? Have you been hearing from the community?
Well, we have a wonderful community, and people roll up their sleeves and try to help each other in all ways. I've gotten many, many calls from people saying, if you know of people that need a place to stay, give them my number. I have extra beds. And as is often the case, these crises bring communities together, and we're already a strong and solid community. One of the big worries now is, this was supposed to be the first day of the cherry harvest, which is one of the major agricultural crops of Mosier, and that's not happening because of all the mess. And the area where the cherries are brought to is not available for them to take them to. So if this isn't ameliorated fairly soon, then they could lose the whole crop that is a once-a-year crop. So I think we have a tremendously compassionate community. People are angry. People are frustrated that we are really so ill-equipped, and we've known this for a long time, that if something like this happens, we really have no capacity, especially when you can't put out a fuel fire with water. So I think, as usual, our little community rallies in times of need, and it brings out really the best in people.
Who is financially responsible for the cleanup? Who will be responsible for the compensation?
Well, we assume it's Union Pacific, and that will remain to be seen, but we really will try to hold their feet to the fire to not only clean up, but to go over and above and do something to make up for this tremendous stress on the community, maybe help us build a fire hall or equip us for future events. And I think the big thing is, you know, how do we have a relationship with the railroad when we can't trust that what they're taking in our front yard could have such a detrimental effect on the community? And the other thing, right where the crash happened is near Rock Creek, which has its own specific species of salmon that doesn't exist anywhere else on the Columbia River. And we don't know how this will affect that creek or the river. We haven't gotten the news on, you know, the EPA has to do all of their assessments, but we assume that the railroad is responsible. It's their train, and they are the ones that chose to take the oil, but that remains to be seen, and it might take some pressure from state agencies or federal agencies to make that happen.
So does Union Pacific have any sort of legal obligation to tell you about the contents that are coming through your town on these trains?
You know, I don't think they do. They had said, and this was about a year ago, when they had said, oh, we're not taking crude oil, but the reason that they're doing the double tracks is for all of these plans. And, you know, as you know, we've been as a region fighting to try to stop these terminals being approved of. And it's really ironic because it's everywhere from Idaho. Every single community along the tracks are affected, and there is no benefit to the communities whatsoever and only risk. And it really isn't fair. So that's why we're also hoping that this can be a point that can be really addressed on a federal level.
Well, Well, I was reading an article. It was from 2014, and it was when it was speaking about Union Pacific proposing this extension of having the pullout lanes, extending them through Mosier. And they said that they were working with the city of Mosier to have some type of mitigation to make up for the fact that they would be increasing the tracks through the town.
Well, here's the irony of ironies. Actually, Union Pacific, because whenever they are destroying land to create an extra track, which, you know, it's our entire waterfront and not the freeway, not I-84, but the railroad has cut off access from our town to the river. And for example, in the future, we've talked on a regional level of having river transportation be another medium of moving from community to community, but we are shut off. We have no pedestrian access. The only road that goes underneath the track is only open in the summer because it goes into the water table of the creek that has salmon. So, and then they were willing themselves to put the mitigation money that's required towards Mosier, but somebody else decided, and I think it was the Army Corps of Engineers, that the mitigation money would go elsewhere. It's funny, of all of the whole area in the Columbia River corridor, that they want to do these double tracks, you know, in front of our community, which a mile of our whole city limits is Union Pacific Railroad. So, you know, it really has a tremendous influence on our town. And as it is already, the noise of the trains, which, you know, people can get used to the noise of the trains, and there's even a romantic thing about train noise. But when it's coal dust that's blowing off onto our agricultural lands and into the lungs of our children, or when it's an oil train like this that is carrying really hazardous materials that, I mean, I just hate to think of anyone that ended up breathing in that smoke, and that all went up the Hood River Valley. We were very lucky wind-wise that the wind wasn't blowing in its predominant direction as a westerly, or the town would have been suffocated in this toxic smoke. We're a tiny town, but we're a town that's really doing our best to be a template for a sustainable community, and it's hard, you know, to even... You know, we're really trying to obey the rules. And like, for example, our sewage treatment plant, when that was rebuilt to be to DEQ standards, it turns out there was a crude oil spill underground that we couldn't prove it, of course, but it was most likely caused by a railroad accident a long time ago, because it was right by the tracks, and it cost the city $500,000 in DEQ cleanup before we could even start on our sewage treatment plant. So we have tremendous debt that, you know, it will be the rest of my lifetime we won't even have recovered from the debt. And we have very few resources to help pay for these things. So it's an interesting story. I'm sure we're not the only ones who suffer this, but I think it's a good time for people to help, you know, really look at this issue and the larger issue of, you know, why are we risking all of our communities and the Columbia River Gorge and the salmon runs and actually the hydroelectric generation of Bonneville Dam? If the oil gets into those turbines, it's another story there too. So it's too much risk and zero benefit for the people along the tracks.
Oh, so when... You're saying by the sewage plant and this old oil spill was discovered, Union Pacific wasn't held responsible for the previous accident that had been discovered?
No, they were not. And because there was no way to specifically prove it, even though, you know, it was the smoking gun, there was no way for us to prove that it wasn't some local that it just spilled, but it was a substantial spill. It wasn't minor. It wasn't somebody changing the oil in their car. And ironically, it was about at the same location of this crash. We just had to eat it. We had no choice, you know, and we had to do, you know, spend this money that, you know, all of our money for water and sewer comes from our utility, and it specifically only can come from utility. The water bill, sewer bill can only go towards the wells and only go towards the sewage treatment plant. So we have very, I think they're high sewage rates, and they go up each year 3% because it's sort of a monopoly who services the plants, and we're too small a town to have a sewage treatment operator as a full-time employee, because you would really have to have two, because you have to have somebody 24 hours on call. So it's a lot for a little town to try to do, and we're trying to be a livable community for people of all income levels. And ironically, the people who are the most affected and are still currently evacuated from the town are the residents of Mosier Manor. That is our trailer park.
Jared, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. I'm sure you're very busy.
Well, you're welcome.
That's Arlene Burns, mayor of the town of Mosier, the small town in Oregon along the Columbia River Gorge that just experienced a crude oil train derailment.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Peacemaking and Connection, an experiential weekend workshop with 8 Shields PDX and John Young, taking place June 10th through 12th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center in Veronia, Oregon. The 8 Shields model provides a map to the principles and practices of peacemaking. Many conflicts can be avoided altogether, and conflicts that do arise can be managed with respect for all, with community balance and stability. Again, that's Peacemaking and Connection, an experiential weekend workshop with 8 Shields PDX and John Young, taking place June 10th through 12th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center, 18062 Kesey Road in Veronia, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade